Fred was with a group of his fellow employees in the office that he worked, and they were all discussing what they were going to give up for Lent. Fred, recognizing he needed to lose a few pounds, said, "I'm going to give up bakery goods, sweets, all throughout Lent." The rest of his fellow employees started laughing and said, "Fred, you're never going to be able to do it. Not only do you love sweets, but we know that you drive by one of the greatest bakeries in all of the town. You're never going to be able to do it. The temptation is just too great." Fred said, "I'm doing it." Well, for the first week, they were all amazed. Fred avoided all sweets. And the normal goodies that he would bring in for everyone else just weren't there. Fred was keeping his word. It was the second week when in the morning, Fred came in with two large coffee cakes, totally decorated in terms of its sweets, sumptuous in it. All his fellow employees gathered around and said, "See, Fred, we told you you couldn't do it. It would be too great a temptation." Fred said, "No, that's not true." He said, "When I was driving to work, I said immediately, 'God, if you want me to have that sweets, especially that coffee cake that I crave so much, there will be an open space in front of the bakery for me to park.'" They said, "Wow, Fred, really?" He said, "Yes, and it only took me 18 times to go around the block in order to see that open spot." What we do is we try to fulfill temptations the way we try to justify it the way we want it. It's so much so true for our approach literally to the spiritual life, the way we want it. And here we have depicted Jesus at the beginning of the great mission. And what's that mission? That mission is his journey to Jerusalem and to the cross. The philosophers all say that the most important moment in a journey is the first step. And why is it the first step? Well, it's the direction that we are now poised in, but oftentimes it's also the attitude. It's what we have in terms of the sense of the journey that we take. I wonder how many of you here, I know I did, said a little act of contrition when we were talking about that asteroid coming within 17,000 miles of the Earth. Now, 17,000 miles seems like an infinite number, but if you're talking about the vastness of the universe, that means as close as the chair of the person that's next to you. And it could have changed our lives in an instant. And we had little control over it. We had little control over that activity. Well, think in terms of our spiritual life. We have a control given to us by our Lord, and that control is our ability to do what the Lord wants or demands from us. Jesus, in terms of his temptation, how does the temptations really get into the scripture? And we have in Matthew and Luke, very pronounced. How does it get into the sacred scripture? Well, it gets into the sacred scripture because Jesus obviously told his disciples. He shared with them this moment in his life when he went deliberately into the desert. That desert is to kind of pull away from the world, to strip oneself of everything that they depend upon, and to place yourself naked before God. And in that moment, the devil enters in to try to dissuade Jesus from his mission. And he does so with the three great temptations, the world, the flesh, and the devil. All those familiar temptations for all of us. He does so and he submits himself to that so that, one, he can pronounce his ability to resist that temptation, but also so he can be an example for us in having our knowledge that he understands the temptations that we go through. This is a God who extends to us his understanding of the temptations that we experience in this world, so as, literally, to be able to embrace that mission fully and completely in our lives, the way God wants us to embrace that mission. It is also a very important understanding when we take a look at the temptations that we understand that what Jesus is not only giving us a model, but also demonstrating that he chooses not to exercise his power in the face of power. He chooses not to exercise his power in the face of power. When we take a look at the temptations that Jesus is faced with, these are not temptations that we would be faced with. Why? We don't have the power to do that. We don't have the power to change stones into bread. We don't have that power. We don't have that power to toss ourselves from the parapet. We don't have that power. But Jesus did. He could have easily exercised that power. He could have easily demonstrated his ability and literally through that power demonstrated his disdain. But he doesn't. Instead, he chooses to confront literally the devil with the word of his Father, with the revealed truth that will sustain him throughout his entire life on his journey to Jerusalem, where suffering and death will occur. Now, we take a look at the temptations and we immediately place ourselves in the fact that Jesus is being tempted here in the desert. But we have to understand the temptations, the entire process throughout Jesus' life. Just like temptations for us are a process throughout our entire life. For Jesus, when I say that temptations are a process, we're going to see Jesus tempted again. Probably the most famous is going to be in the Garden of Gethsemane, when suddenly he is so filled with the anxiety about his approaching death, suffering and death, that he says, "Oh, Father, let this cup pass from me, but if it be in your will." And the submission to the will is all important. Think in terms of our own lives and just pick various temptations that we've been confronted with in our own journey. Think how radically different our life could have been had we submitted to the temptation. Think how radically different. Talk in terms of individuals who will not be faithful to their vows in marriage. Think of what radically happens. Think in terms of those, in terms of temptation, who succumb basically to addiction in their own lives. And yet, even in the midst of that, there is a tremendous upside in the sense of those who recognize they're turning away from God, and that is their ultimate dependency upon God. Having worked a bit in alcoholic rehabilitation and drug rehabilitation, I can tell you one of the The great spiritual enlightenment occurs for those who literally hit bottom. They realize that they need to reach out, and reaching out for most of them meant reaching out to God, to understand their own weakness and to open themselves up to allow God to now be in control of their lives. Here, Jesus goes into the desert and opens himself up to the mission of the Father. It's the Father that guides and directs him. It's the Father who calls him. And he, in obedience, responds in love to the Father's command. As we enter this first week of Lent, let us open ourselves up to the mission that Jesus has for us. Let us open ourselves up to embrace that mission and to understand that God is guiding us and directing us, that he is in control, and that we willingly submit ourselves in obedience to the Father's love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.